This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're going to be moving on to our story this hour. The past few days have seen quite a bit of anger on social media as Malaysians express their disappointment with double standards for cabinet members. We're talking, of course, about observing, or rather not observing, COVID-19 SOPs for those who had returned from Sabah, specifically choosing to not complete their home quarantine after testing negative. Now, to recap, the mandatory two-week house surveillance order only applied for returnees from September 27th onwards, and many ministers were home before then. But opposition MPs and netizens nevertheless urged them to complete the order to lead by example, especially with the high rate of cases in Sabah and since it had been recommended by the Health Ministry. It was, however, only after Religious Affairs Minister Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Mohamed Al-Bakri tested positive that several ministers were ordered to quarantine. And that's also because they were close contacts who had attended a special COVID-19 meeting on October 3rd. You may have seen the picture circulating. And this includes Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who started isolating early this week. So where we are right now with that is, as mentioned, ministers are quarantining and cabinet meetings have been suspended. But Datuk Sri Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jaffar, the Entrepreneur and Cooperatives Development Minister, says that the ministers are under quarantine, are working from home, and that they connect with the Prime Minister daily to receive instructions. So what we want to do in this half hour is hear from a minister to understand exactly how this process is going, but also, I think, to talk about this brewing sentiment or this brewing anger that has been going on for a while. We did see, I think the beginning of this was really perhaps in July, when we saw Dr. Mohamed Khairuddin Aman Razali returning from Turkey. And that case has since been more or less resolved, although I think today there has been an update to the investigations being submitted. But anyways, it is more or less resolved. But I think from then on, there was a growing awareness and a growing, a growing resentment, I suppose, that there are perceived double standards being applied. So this is what we're working with today. And after this, we are going to be speaking with YB Zuraida Kamarudin, who is the Minister of Housing and Local Government, who is undergoing home quarantine at the moment. If you have questions or thoughts, you can call 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It is coming along to 6:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. As we know, the cabinet here in Malaysia has been ordered to self-quarantine. And for that, we just wanted to get in and see how that's been going. If you have any thoughts or questions that you'd like to send through, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is YB Zuraida Kamarudin, who is the Minister of Housing and Local Government. YB Zuraida, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, okay. Good evening, Lynn. Yeah.
So I guess the first thing I wanted to know is, how are you feeling at the moment and what is your home quarantine setup like?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, I'm okay because I thought that we have gone through this earlier in March, and this is 14 days is something that is not too difficult. But okay, but work from home is because luckily the house is in Putrajaya, is nearby the office. So every morning, the boys, the deliver boys, or my dispatch boys will send the file that I need to go through, sign, and return back to the office for the officers to execute for the action. So that's probably in the morning. That's what we do. Then I'll catch up with my WhatsApp, my emails, and my callings, and all those that I need to do. And in between, of course, I do some readings. And, of course, got to catch up a little bit of TV programs.
Yes, I think that describes a lot of people working from home setup. And so we understand that you actually self-quarantined after attending an event in Langkawi where there was an attendee who tested positive. What steps did you take after you were informed?
Yeah, actually, I was in Kawau. I took care for the election in Sabah. I was taking care Merautai somewhere in Kawau, Kelabakan. So I flew back the 26th. So I was on transit to Penang. So at the KRIA 2, I took 3 swabs, two through the nose and one through the throat. And I went to Penang on the 26th evening. Then the next morning, I was in Langkawi. So, but the result that I got on the spot, the 26th, is half an hour result, and the other one is 2 days result was negative. Then I went to Langkawi and flew back on 27 evening. Yeah. And then only the next morning, on the 28th, I have a program with the Malaysia Urban Forum launch with PM. So I was there. Then after that program, then I got a call that to say that there was I was in contact with a positive carrier in Langkawi. So I need to take a swab. So the next morning, Tuesday, I took a swab. And then the evening itself, the result came out as negative. But if you are with close contact, you even though you are found negative, you have to undergo the 14 days home quarantine. Mm. So my quarantine will end on the 11th. So on 10 will be 13th day, which I need to take another swab.
Right. And so this is, as you mentioned in that timeline of events, that happened prior to the special meeting that took place on October 3rd. How were you notified that a cabinet member had tested positive?
Yeah, I was notified using our WhatsApp cabinet ministers group that, but it was only informed, I think, on the day that it came out on the news earlier. I got the notice earlier than that, a little bit earlier than that, but on the same day. So I think, was it on Monday or Tuesday, right?
Mm.
Monday. 5th, I think. On the 5th, 5th or 6th, I'm not. Fifth, that we get the news of Minister of Religious Affairs contacted with a positive COVID.
Mm. And you mentioned earlier Tawau, so we also understand that you went to Sabah to campaign for the state elections. What were the SOPs you observed there?
Yeah. I saw the strict SOPs with distancing and with masks and so on and so forth. But sometimes, even at my Malaysian Urban Forum speech, you know, where they like to politicize on politicians and ministers, where you're giving speech, you take off your mask. You can't be speaking with a mask over your mouth because it will not be clear in the speeches. So these are the comments which is very unwelcoming because they should understand that our role, when we do speech, there's nobody beside us there and then we are away from people. I think that is acceptable. So, but coming back to Tawau, Merautai, when I was there, we try to observe as much as we can with self-distancing, especially with the crowd. So, but we do try to evade the crowd by taking out the back door and the backstage exit, you know, so that we don't come into contact with them as much. We try to minimize as much as we can now.
Right. And after returning from Sabah, have you attended events since?
Yeah, there's the one that I was in Penang, one
right.
event. Then,
mm-hmm.
And then 26 evening, then 27 I was in Langkawi, and 28 I have in KL one event, the Malaysian Urban Forum launch.
Right. And I think, you know, you mentioned there earlier removing your mask to give speeches, but I think a lot of the anger from the public at the moment has been about this idea of double standards, specifically for not completing quarantine even after testing negative. How would you respond to that?
No, I think earlier there was a bit of confusion because in my case, I thought that when you found negative, we don't have to observe quarantine. But because I was in contact with a positive person, even though you are negative, you have to go through the quarantine. So there are a few categories, actually. Those in close contact, those are not in close contact, and those just come back from Sabah. So these are the few SOPs that have different kinds of SOPs. This is where the public are confused, and this makes them making unnecessary remarks, especially on the ministers and whoever they think that they need to condemn.
And I guess, you know, considering that level of confusion then, is there anything that you feel could have been done better or perhaps communicated better?
Yeah. And now I think the KKM and the Ministry of Health have come up with a clear differentiation of the type of category of quarantine. So I think now people are a bit more informed about the different kinds of quarantine that is being taken place at this point in time. So it's now reducing the confusion, and they begin to understand a bit better.
Now, we started off by talking about your quarantine setup, and you mentioned, getting that delivery of files and so on.
Yeah.
So walk us through the rest of your day then. What is it like? So are you on conference calls, for instance, with your cabinet?
Yeah. And the cabinet, so far, we have not had, but I see that the next cabinet meeting that will be around after District 7 is on the 14th, looks like we're going to have a Zoom conference cabinet meeting, and then there's some of it we go through by circulation. So the most important one that we need to approve, and the PM has decided to do on circulation basis. So, but so far, nothing has come to us yet so far. Since the period of this high cap of the crisis last week, this is so far, there's no circulation yet. But we were informed, we were warned that there's a possibility of such circulation for approval will be taking place.
So we do actually have this question from WhatsApp from Matthew, who wants to know, hi YB, can we get your comment on the relatively slow response from our legal system to apprehend your colleague? Is there a double standard? How would you respond?
No, I think that there's no double standards to this quarantine. Like I said, they were confused. So, but I think this legally also, there's also things are not being, because we have this meeting, regular meetings, where we're trying to digest the issues and we try to find solutions to the issues. So therefore, it takes a little bit of time. And since it's the first time that we've been affected by this pandemic, and it's something that is quite new to us, and therefore, everything that we do, every decision that we do, we have to be very careful and takes a bit of time to come up with statements, to come up with solutions.
So, considering the fact that COVID-19 is likely to be with us until a vaccine is available, and there's always this push and pull about what is the new normal, how do you see your workflow and maybe the cabinet's workflow adapting for the long term?
I think we have to adopt the new norms, like we do video conferences, we do webinars, and we can have launches, we can have the hybrids, which my Malaysian Urban Forum is a hybrid of both virtual and physical. Physical, we minimize the crowd, and we have the bigger crowd on virtual basis. And I think there's so much to do with this communication through the apps that we have, the phones, the emails, and it can be done. And then even a lot of things has been gone digitalized, especially with my local government. We have all these online applications, online approval. All this actually is a blessing in disguise, where we are quite slow in adopting to these technologies and now push our Malaysians to go faster on this. So it is something that is good, actually, for the country.
And I think the recent surge, the recent surge in cases has been a source of worry for a lot of us. Is there anything you'd like to say to the rakyat, given the current situation?
Yeah, I think the rakyat has not to worry, because we have done well in March, the first surge or whatever that we have faced. We have done very well, and it is what the world recognized us. So now this is the second time that we are being hit at this purge. But then with all our experience that we had, so the way we're overcoming the situation will be much more fast track. So there's no worry. And secondly is that all those affected or all those are in the four-wall areas, as in the jails, prisons. So therefore, these are very contained carriers, positive carriers. So therefore, it's easier to control them on their movement and on their monitoring of their medication and so on and so forth. So the riot don't have to worry. They have to carry on like what we did after we opened up somewhere in 5th of May. So, but they have to observe wearing the mask and self-distancing, and also sanitization. This is very important. They have to keep away and, of course, adopt the new norms, trying to avoid as much as physical contact in whatever they do. in terms of their job, in terms of daily life, in terms of their movement at home and so on and so forth.
Webby Zuraida, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was Zuraida Kamarudin, Minister of Housing and Local Government, sharing her thoughts on what it's like for a member of the cabinet to be in self-quarantine and also addressing, I think, some of the issues and feelings that the rakyat have had when it comes to perceived double standards. If you would like to share your thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.